Welcome to the Level Up Artist Podcast. We're your hosts, Adriana M.A. and
Jackie Sanders. We are two art professionals sharing forward the advice and business lessons we have learned along our creative journeys.
We talk to artists, leaders, and art professionals to demystify the creative process and discover new ways to succeed as a career-minded artist.
If you find value in these conversations, please go ahead and subscribe. This will help other creatives like you find our podcasts, and you'll be notified when we drop a new episode every Tuesday. On today's episode, we are so excited to have artist, athlete, father, mental health professional, children's book author. The list goes on and on of all his accolades, but we're so excited to have Lamar Woodby on the podcast today. Welcome, Lamar.
Thank you for having me. That's interesting to hear.
Well, we're excited to discuss your journey into art, your range of art mediums, your experience with the intersection of art and mental health, as well as recording a bonus segment on time management and routines for our podcast supporters at levelupartist.com. But before we dive in, we always like to introduce our guests for our listeners who may not yet be familiar with your work.
So Lamar Woodby was born and raised in North Carolina, where his creative journey has taken on many forms. After receiving a football scholarship at Winston-Salem State University and transferring to North Carolina Central University, he found mentorship under Dr. Beverly McIver, igniting his passion for art. His academic pursuits led to an MFA from the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill and a license in clinical mental health counseling from NC State University. Today, Lamar Woodby approaches the contemporary art scene using his craft to spark conversations on mental health, parenting, profound insight into the human experience, and speaking to the experiences of underrepresented communities, transcending race, demographics, and gender. Woodby's art has been exhibited in prestigious venues such as the North Carolina Museum of Art and the Visual Art Exchange. And beyond his professional life, he is a husband of 10 years and a father of two.
Yay! Mm-hmm. And of course, that is the formal introduction for our listeners. But Lamar, keeping in mind that, of course, a lot of our podcast subscribers are probably in the car or in the studio with their hands dirty and painting or on clay while they're listening to this, how would you describe your work to someone who has never seen it before?
An experiment. It's a huge experiment. Like, I have this running joke with my wife. Like, sometimes I'll be just messing with some drawing, doodling, or whatever. And she's like, she'll come around and look. She's like, you don't know what you're doing. I'm like, I really don't. So the whole, yeah, so all of the school, the licenses and teaching and art and all the stuff, I really just do things that that excite me, things that I'm passionate about, right? Like that's basically it. So I don't know, how do I describe it? It's intuitive, it's passion. It's chasing purpose.
And mainly figurative, right?
Oh yeah, let's go back to the art stuff. Yeah. definitely mainly figurative. I majority of my work is definitely figurative. Good 95%.
Perfect.
I love that, especially thinking about your beginning bio talking about those many kind of complex layers of human experience that a lot of your work unpacks. And I mean, your range of experience from being a teacher, mental health therapist, it makes sense why figures and humans are at the forefront of your work. But I am curious, kind of going back to the more beginning of your career, starting with your college career, starting as an athlete and then transitioning into art after your mentorship. Can you share a little bit more about that kind of pivotal moment and how that mentorship experience influenced the artist that you feel like you became right after then and today?
I guess a quick summary of me again. Starting with sports, like being the only child, right? Mm-hmm. So I had to be, it was just me. So it was cousins, friends, just people around. And I really didn't realize until I got older, but I was always just aware of people and their how they operated and how people went about life. I was just always curious about that. So that's what led me to football because I really didn't know what else to do. Like as kids, I followed my cousin to football practice on random day. Right? It's like, oh, this is where all the cool kids are. I like those. Let's go over here. Right?
That's where
I
the
like those
people
guys.
are.
Yeah, like so that's where I went. But I say that to say to be introduced to Beverly and to be under her mentorship and that sort of thing. That's what happened with her, right? She saw in me something that I didn't know was there at the time, and I'm still trying to understand in a lot of ways. But because she showed interest in me, I started to pay attention. And I started to pay attention to how people treated her, right? And how she treated other people, and how she just went about life, and the things she talked about, and her experiences, and the things that she talked about in her work. And I'm like, oh, this is nice. I respect this. So,
In 3 words, real quick, for people that are not familiar with her, Lamar, that may be listening, how would you describe her in just a couple of words? Is she like a professor, or give us a
wow.
little bit more about her?
In 3 words?
No, well, however many.
Wow. So I had to say 3 words. Whoa. She's like the man. She's like that. She's a friend. She's like that cool auntie, right?
Nice.
That always shoots straight. Like I'm gonna tell you what's up. I'm gonna tell you how I feel, but I'm not gonna do it with just ill intent, right?
I got you.
And yeah, it's just full of respect and her drive and perseverance through all that she's been through and just going about life the way that she does. She's a special, special person.
Nice. And
Yeah.
it looks like, so she's an again, for our listeners who may not be familiar with her, she's an artist mostly known for her self-portraits. Looks like she's based out of Greensboro, or was, and she's a professor. Looks like she's a professor at Duke University. That's super awesome.
Yes.
Oh, that's super cool.
Yeah.
Okay, okay.
And
All
I
right,
love the
anyway,
points that you brought
listeners,
out,
you're gonna have
Lamar,
to
too,
look
about
into
just
her. Oh,
Yeah, I
I'm
love the points you
sorry.
brought out about like mentorship in general and how it's not only from your experience as the artist of obviously all of the information and like time that she invested in you, but then you being able to just like observe how she interacted with people, how like the respect that other people paid to her is like almost it's a two-way street for sure.
Yeah.
Of not only like what she's directly telling you, but indirectly telling you as well, between
Right.
like how she carries herself, how her professional career, I'm sure, is something that you respected and admired as well, which is, I don't know, huge
Definitely.
for any like emerging artists, especially thinking about like, well, what's the point of mentorship? Why do I need a mentor? Or how can it be helpful for me? I think those
Yeah.
are a lot of the things.
I think that one thing that stood out too, and what continues to stand out about Beverly though, is the fact that she's a in this space of art. For one, she's a woman, right, in the South, and a black woman who didn't come from much, right? To talk about the things she talks about, it's like, you have to overcome all of that and to still after all these years continue to climb and like want to and bring people with you. I respect that. Like, why not want to model my career? Like a lot of athletes, a lot of basketball players model their career after Jordan or LeBron or that sort of thing. Like, why not? Why
She's
not?
the Jordan of the space.
Man, she's my Jordan for real.
Yeah.
I love that. I love that. And it's so important to have, role models that we can look up to. And in art, being that there's no preset career, you don't just do a 4-year degree and then a residency and then bam, you make
Right.
it. then yeah, having someone to look up to and being like, how'd you get from A to B? And then that mentorship element, I mean, that's just gold. Well, love it again for our listeners. We'll make sure her name is in the episode notes so that you can look her up too. I mean, her work looks amazing, just taking a quick look. So definitely go and check her out. But going back to your journey, Lamar, so your work incorporates a variety of mediums and techniques, things like impasto. You bring, distinctive textures and immediacy to your pieces. And of course, I'm thinking of the shall I call it a statue? That's not the word. The sculpture that you had at Art Space. I mean, basically, you're experimenting with a lot of things. Can you tell us a little bit about your process in selecting a medium for a piece and how you decide which technique best conveys the message or feeling you're aiming to express?
Yeah, that's difficult because not to go back to Beverly, but I sort of have to. One day I was in the I'm in the studio painting, right? And I'm just like doing stuff. She's like, you're very intuitive. Like you, it's not like a plan, it's not like a it's not predetermined. It's more like you said, it's feeling. And I think that's the overlap with the mental health and all of that. It's feeling, it's emotion. If I don't feel it, I can't really do it. And sometimes to plan exactly what I'm gonna do in the beginning, to get started on the actual process, it doesn't work. I can never start the way that I want it to. So I guess my process is more so and finding material is like the first two. If I'm working on a series, like the first two works or whatever, first two, three, five, I don't know. But I guess developing a consistency with whatever medium. Like right now I'm using crayons and acrylics. I haven't touched oil in since December. But that's how I was trained, right? But I'm using crayons and acrylics and that sort of thing, just thinking about more about my children and memory and time and that sort of thing. So I don't know. It's what I feel.
Lot of
It's what I feel.
experiments. Lot of
Yeah,
experiments.
like why not
Lot of
screw up
playing,
sometimes?
experimenting. Hey, that's the best kind. If you plan
Yeah.
everything out, it becomes stale.
I almost envy people that can though. Like, man,
Man.
you can really do this little study and then make it a thing and be happy with it. Like, I screwed that thing up a million times before I wish.
I think that's such a fun part about talking to other artists too, because everyone's process is so different, in terms of like the range of how much they pre-plan or how much is intuitive, how much they're like, I work in these one to two mediums versus literally everything can be a medium in the work that I make. It's really
Everything
fun
goes.
talking to other artists to like kind of feel that range, because everyone does it differently. And I think that's what makes art so cool, both as an observer, but also as a fellow creator for it too.
Real quick, while we're here, and I know people listen, so I'm just go ahead and plug my people while I can. That the sculpture that was done in collaboration with a good friend and Duke professor Stephen Hayes. Yeah, artist professor. Yeah, check him out if you haven't heard of him or seen his work.
Super awesome.
Yeah, good guy, good guy, good guy, great artist.
Yeah, we'll make sure that
Thank
they're
you.
plugged in the notes as well. I love it. Always lifting up fellow community members. I love it. Which kind of brings me to my next question. Obviously, having work with such like a broad range of subject matters, broad range of mediums, and even from the short bit that I've known you and your work, like even just showing in different venues, whether galleries, art spaces, I'm curious, what do you hope the viewers take away from your art, especially when it features such personal subject matters, like most recently, like family members in your work.
I want them to take away. I want them to. I think it's almost like watching a movie or reading a book, right? Like everyone's gonna take away something different, but I think I want them to just feel like that's the whole mission is to encourage people to feel, whether it be of course first looking internally, right? But also developing this sense of or heightened sense of empathy. So that's what it is. Feel and seek and search and all this stuff. Just that's it.
I love that. Yeah, I think especially that makes so much sense with, I mean, your intuitive process. You're like feeling your way through the process of making the work itself, but then also wanting the viewer to kind of feel their way through the experience of the work. And I personally respond very much to work that it's not a clear, like, these are the exact three bullet points that I want you to take away from this work, but more just experience it, and however you interpret it is how you are interpreting it. Like, however you feel your physical, emotional reaction to a piece is the correct one, whatever it may be, because everyone has such varying experiences that they're bringing to the table. And that's
Exactly.
really where that powerful conversation can be, because the circumstances that I'm bringing to a work is very different than the experiences you are, which is different than the ones Adriana are. So all of us are coming from such different phases of our lives, different experiences. So I absolutely love that. That's great.
Yeah. I also love the idea of like paintings are incomplete without the viewer anyways, and them bringing their own. You know, it's almost like a mirror you're holding up to them, and you know, through their reflection they finish the work. I don't know. I think that's also why I'm so attracted to like abstract or even gestural elements, because looking at some of your work, it's not like you're depicting photorealism, like trying to copy a photo, you know, pore by pore. You're bringing some of that expressive element to it too, some of those intuitive, like you were saying, you know, you're experimenting, playing around. And that actually makes it, I think, humbly, a lot more interesting and a lot more where I might be more likely to question, like, where's this person coming from? Or what are those elements coming from? Or, oh, this reminds me of a time I was vacationing at fill in the blank. You know what I mean? And it, somehow he brought some of those elements through the piece. That's interesting. I like that. It's like opening that conversation up through the piece.
Thank you.
Love
So,
that.
I'm sorry.
Oh, yeah.
I think too, and I mentioned in other places before, but abstraction, going on what you said, abstraction was a thing that I sort of ran away from earlier on because I wasn't really, I guess for one, to think that, oh, you could be an artist is like a what? That's a shot in the wind. Right? Like who does that? Right? So that's one thing. So then when you see some when you're introduced to art, it's already realistic and figurative and all this stuff. Like, oh yeah, you can draw Dragon Ball Z characters and all this stuff, right? It's figurative. That's how it started. But
Same.
to go abstract is like I don't necessarily understand it. And to get older, to mature as an artist, just as an overall person, understanding the feeling of things and not just, oh, I get it with my eyes and I get that part, I relate to it, but I guess spending more time with the subject, with the thing. Taking my time with it, breaking it down. And if that feeling comes excuse me, if that feeling comes across with the abstract piece, like, dang, that's what I want. So I take that and yeah, just basically steal elements from abstraction. Yeah, because at one point I couldn't stand it, but now I respect it so much. It's like, ah, I get it. Like I need to feel that thing.
Yeah, no, I feel you. I literally started. I mean, a lot of my early work was all figurative. It was basically like anime characters and like fantasy characters and things like it was all figurative. But like there was nothing abstract about it, other than, of course, depending on your drawing style, it could be an abstraction of reality, but not like purely abstract. But I get it. For a lot of artists, they have to go through the realism phase to get to abstraction anyways, and some of them just skip it altogether and go straight to abstraction. I mean, I just love
Yo,
it's you
that's so
know, it's like,
bold.
yeah, art styles, art is like food, you know? There's all these flavors, all these cuisines, and it's open to everybody and you don't have to like all of it. Like it's just
Yeah.
contrary to like if you choose to, I don't know, be an accountant, you better like being an accountant because
My
you
wife's
know
an accountant.
some
She's in tax season right now.
there, see,
You're in the thick of it. You're in the
What? You better
Yeah.
like some of those numbers because that's your life if that's what you chose. Art,
Exactly.
we get to choose from here and there and then smush things together. It's I don't know, it's the best. But I do want to bring it back to like, you know, some of your experiences in art and specifically art as therapy, right? So transitioning from art as a form of personal expression to using it as a tool in therapy, I'm sure must have been quite a journey. So can you share with us a little bit about how your practice as an artist intersects with your work as a clinical mental health counselor associate? All the titles.
Art is a thing that I held on to in the beginning to just get through, not just get through, but it was natural to process life with a pencil and paper, right? Like you played the sports, you had the social life, all the stuff, but to process life, like nobody to just talk to about your stuff, but to process it through. I'm here scratching on my desk right now, acting like it's a pencil. to process life through pencil on paper or pen or whatever medium, man, that's so therapeutic. Like it's so therapeutic. So to grow and get older, and to become a therapist, to become a counselor, I felt like the worlds had no choice but to merge, right? Like if it can do that for me, like why not? Why not?
Yeah, I
Because
think
everyone's creative. We're born creative. Like, that's just who we are as human beings. We're creative, right? So it doesn't matter if you're if you're just an artist on canvas, or even if you're, I don't know, whatever job, you have to be, you're creative. You're a human being. You make it work. You're creative. So if that's a natural thing, why not?
I
Let's help
definitely
some.
agree. It's so interesting because we have I mean so many visitors come to our studios at Artspace. And Adriana and I have talked about this a lot, but I feel like with my work, a lot of my collectors are like engineers or software programmers where they feel like that's a very different mindset than being an artist. They're like, "Well, I don't know why I like this work, but I like it." And I'm like, you guys are not giving yourself as much credit for like, they're like, well, I'm not creative. This is a totally different world for me. I'm like, you guys are literally envisioning a system and then figuring out how to make that come to life. Yes, I'm using painting and emotions, and you're using software and programming, but like, they're
Exactly.
just different languages for making something come to life and processing a problem. And I think it's like the same skill set just applied in different ways. But I love how you point out that, I mean, obviously that therapeutic element of art making to where art making can help you process the world and then you can process the world by making art. And
Yeah.
it's a very natural kind of if one person is struggling in one area, then the other may help. It seems like that natural kind of like bridge leaning on each other to how you can
Yeah.
use one to serve the other.
I think too, and I forget where I heard it. It was probably like a movie or could have been an Instagram post or something for real. But someone said, I heard someone say, art was easier before I knew what I was doing. Right? And if I take that and to a person who knows nothing about art and you just want to scribble out, like, oh, he crossed the street and did blah, blah, blah. If you want to do that with stick figures, and you can say, oh, you know those people, like, oh, I can draw only a stick figure, that sort of thing. How did you do that? Okay, use your stick figures to convey this message. And watch, if you keep drawing stick figures, they're gonna develop and get better. So your art practice is gonna grow, but you're still gonna work through those emotions. So why not do the same thing together? Why not do it together? Why not?
Why
Yep.
not?
Why
Yeah.
not?
I
We
think
need
you
a
kind
t-shirt, Lamar, that says why not?
of why
Nah,
not
it's
make
probably, somebody
art?
probably had that
I
already.
love it. Yeah, I think especially as artists, it's so natural. Like it feels very kind of intuitive to being human, to your point. Like everyone has that creative side. Everyone has that urge to create something in the world.
Right.
And when looking into kind of your range of work, you also have a children's book, which is super exciting, that is kind of incorporates like mindfulness practices. So I'm curious how you kind of incorporate mindfulness into your creative practice and how it has affected your work, and your approach to art and therapy.
Yeah, that was created for. So that's like a second one. So my son had a I was just sketching some stuff, just jotting some stuff down. I was in between like shows or whatever, you know, like that. I don't know how you work, but I guess I'm talking about process. If I do something like push out a show, I do something totally different. Right. So if I do like a whole bunch of painting, I need to draw or take some pictures or record some stuff or I don't know, whatever. But anyway, so I'm working on this book with my well, I'm just drawing some teddy bears or whatever. I'm just like, oh, this might be my son. But then he ended up having a project at a school, at his school. It was an entrepreneurship project. Like, this
Nice.
book isn't finished. So we put it out, and then we had to do it, then we did another. So basically I did that in so many words to just spend time with my son. Yeah, just spend time with my son and still continue on with the continue on developing the practice. But restate your question. Ask your question one more time. I'm sorry.
No, you're good. I feel like incorporating, well, I guess the process for making the book is very intuitive, to kind of like the product that you made, and that, from what I saw, it looked like it really focused on more like kind of mindfulness practices and like the square breathing technique that was included in the book. So I'm curious, if that plays a role like in your art making process as well, or kind of like where that technique came from. And why you want to include it in the project.
That was one that was, it felt pretty simple for people to grasp. You
And for
know,
people that may not know about it, do you mind explaining for our listeners, what that technique is?
So you want to do it?
Sure, let's go.
All right. So look, this is what we're gonna do. This is what we're gonna do.
Oh.
You ready?
Yeah.
All right. Everybody, feet flat on the ground. You feel your toes wiggling a little bit? All right. What does that feel like?
Very grounding, very stable.
Okay. What does the surface beneath you feel like? Is it rough? Is it smooth?
Mine's smooth. I have socks on.
Oh, there you go. All right, now put your hands on your knees. Like just rest them. Sit back in your chair, relax a little bit. I'm just trying to get you comfortable.
Okay.
Wiggle your fingers. The surface beneath your fingertips, what do they feel like?
Smooth.
So what we're gonna do, we're gonna count to four. Right? Then you're gonna inhale. Then we're gonna do one, two, three, four. You're gonna exhale. Do it again, and you're gonna hold that breath. Okay. And we're gonna go again. We're gonna do it twice, just for the people one time. All right.
Okay.
Inhale. One, two, three, four. Hold. One, two, three. Four. Exhale. One, two, three, four. Hold. And then you do it again. I said we're gonna do it twice, but you do it again. But that's how it goes.
Nice.
So just that simple. I thought that would be something that you can that I could do with my children.
that any it was simple enough for basically anyone to do. So
I love it. I think especially having that, like, I mean, obviously counting to four, the square visual, it incorporates the physical, the mind element of just being grounded in mindfulness. So
yeah,
love that.
100%.
Yeah.
Oh,
And obviously, I'm
absolutely.
sure that's something that you incorporate in your daily life and maybe even in your art making practice as well.
Yeah, I did that for my kids, so I have to. I have to. I keep it there.
Love it. Well, given your unique perspective as both an artist and mental health counselor, how do you perceive the role of art in mental health, both on an individual but also super important on a community level?
Art and mental health. As I stated before, I think everyone is creative, right? So when we speak about art, I'm thinking more not just what we do, but the whole spectrum of things, whether it be music or dance, all of the arts. But I think that an individual should incorporate that often and daily. On a community level, I feel as if we're creating together, there's a sense of unity. There's a sense of, and like I talked about, that heightened sense of empathy. I think that happens too. When you're creating together, when you're developing things together, you understand more about people. You understand who they are, and you understand a lot of times who you are, and that at the same time. So I think art in every way is necessary for the individual and within the community to thrive, for it to thrive.
Agree, 100%.
Hope I answered the question.
Oh yeah. Now, this is one of those things where it's like, some of us do or lead community events, and this is why. It's to give that platform and give people the opportunity to come together and work together.
Yeah.
And it erases a lot of barriers, a lot of socioeconomic, fill in the blank. I mean, there's so many of them, but it takes down a lot of those barriers and lets people just freely, freely meet, really be creative and, kind of increase that empathy and go, we're not so different after all. Like, you and
Yeah.
I may hold a crayon different, but we're doing the same scribble. Like, what?
That's the
It's
cool
awesome.
thing about art, though, right? Is that especially. And I know I do figurative stuff, but I think that's the cool thing about abstraction too, that I really didn't appreciate before, is that it erases, and going back to that feeling thing, like it erases everything. Right? I'm not looking at, yeah, it's feeling. It's feeling. How does this thing move you? How does it make you feel? If it doesn't move you or make you feel, this might not be the piece for you. But that's what it is. So when you say like we're creating together and that sort of thing, I think, I don't know. I lost the thought, but yeah, keep on.
No, that's okay. You just had me think of something else too, if you think about it. We all started as abstract artists. We all started with that scribble on a piece of paper that a parental unit went, so what is that? And
Yeah,
you're
yeah,
like, it's a dinosaur, don't you see it? This is pretty abstract,
yeah.
So
You're
it
like, it
just
makes
reminded me
perfect
of that.
sense to me. I don't know why you don't see it,
Exactly. It's
obviously.
clear as
We all
day, mommy.
started with trying to convey something,
Yeah.
whether it looked very representative or more abstract, that's a different story. But
Yeah.
yeah, we all start out the same.
Yeah. And that kind of goes back to the feeling as well. I mean, even I think it's funny, kind of watching my niece and nephew emerge with their creative talents and coming down to my studio and wanting to just like draw pictures and paint and Aunt Jackie's art studio. It is fun even
That's cool.
seeing there's a level of, okay, now my nephew wanting to like make representational work, or this is a house, or this is a fish, versus my niece is still at the age where kind of putting that feeling first. Her goal isn't really to like
Yeah.
make something. It's just like, I just want to be painting. Which
Right.
I feel like is kind of a good representation of those two different goals that many artists have, whether consciously or subconsciously, of let me just lean into, I want to make something that is representational that other people can see, or I'm just having this experience and I'm happy and coloring, and therefore that's what I'm going to be doing. And the end product is what it is. Yeah, so it's kind of fun looking back to those beginning days on all of our creative journeys. And then, like, as artists, we're constantly just trying to get back to those places and unlearn, kind of to your point earlier of it was easier when I didn't know what I was doing, like unlearn all of the layered of consciousness that we kind of built into our role as artists.
Isn't it crazy how we, it's like you have to learn just to unlearn the stuff.
Yep. But that's
the fun part, right?
Exactly.
Yep.
Yeah, like you develop more techniques and you read all the books and you listen to the people and you do all the stuff, but then it's like, dang, I really need to dismiss all of these thoughts, all of the stuff, and go back to bare bones. But how do you go there when you've accumulated so much information?
It's a constant balancing
learning to
act.
Compartmentalize.
Yeah.
And lock out the mental critics and the professors of your past and just being like, you can stay outside now. Thanks. Thanks for what you brought on. I took what I needed. Goodbye. I'll let you in later.
Man.
Need to create now. I'll bring you back at the crit stage. Right now we're in the making.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Very true. Well, Lamar, we love asking our guests how they define success as an artist, but real quick, we're going to take a quick word from our sponsors. This episode is brought to you by our Level Up Artist courses.
We understand that life as a modern artist can be both exciting and overwhelming. Plus, there's a lot of information out there. So what do visual artists actually need?
We've spent countless hours of trial and error weeding through tons of information to find the gold, so you don't have to waste your time going down those endless rabbit holes.
In addition to weekly calls, we have created video course modules to cover everything from artist documents to exhibition prep, social media to technology, sales strategies, artist mindset, PDF resources, templates, and so much more.
Ready to get started? Head on over to levelupartists.com to learn more. Get immediate access and level up your career today.
Welcome back, everybody. So, Lamar, how do you define success as an artist?
I think success has to, we have to first go back to what purpose is, right? Because, I mean, cliche thing, but we all know, like, success is subjective. Depending on what you want out of life, all that. But like I said, I think it has to be defined based on purpose, because if we don't really know why or what we're shooting for, how do you know when you actually succeed? So I think success as an artist, recently, that's been something that I think within myself, that's something I've been working through. And finally figuring out, like, the whole art, mental health thing, all of that, understanding what the actual purpose is. It's like, oh, at one moment you do things that you're good at, but why? Like, why are you interested? Asking myself, like, why are you interested in these specific things? Why do you do this? Just questioning all these things. So it's like, to question these things helps me to understand purpose. Success comes when one understands purpose, and success is the achieved goal.
All right. So, Lamar, what is one piece of advice that you wish you had heard before you got started on your creative journey?
I don't know. I don't know if I wanted to. I'm just that guy, right? I'm one of those, I need to learn. I'm like a hands-on. But observant. So I think I don't know if any advice would have done much. Like, at the beginning, like, yo, you about to go and do this thing. Like, you're about to be a creative. You're a therapist, a dad, like, an educator, like, all this stuff. This is what, I don't know, because if I would have been told how hard this would be and how satisfying and all this stuff at the same time, I don't know if I would have done it.
Yeah. All we right, talk a lot too, especially around. I think as artists in the beginning of your journey, I feel like any big, whether identity shift or any big project, there's a little bit of like
What? Real quick,
naivete
I'm
that
sorry.
needs to come with it.
I don't know. I think that came out wrong. I said I don't know if I would have done it. I think we have been told, or at least myself, I have, you're told that as far as art and that sort of thing, like that's not a real thing. So in my mind, yeah, I did take that back. In my mind, that's why I do. I tell you why. Check this out. Check this out. I was at a family event, and I met I ran into a cousin that I hadn't seen in a little while. It's like, hey man, you still doing the art thing? All this and that. I'm like, yeah. You know? Talking about different things. He was like, man, art, that's cool what you're doing, but you don't really get recognized to make any money until you die. Yeah, that pissed me off so much. I don't know, like respect, that's my guy. But internally, like that drive, the one that part of me that says, watch this. Right? That's activated. Like, no, nah, you don't understand. Like you don't get that. So I don't to go to your original question, what I wish someone would have told me, I don't know. I'm happy people told me that it wasn't or not people told me directly, but I'm happy that people around me didn't view this thing as their own goal or achievable. Right? So I'm happy people didn't say anything about it because that means I have to blaze my own trail. That means I have to figure it out and do the thing. And that, in a lot of ways, I don't know. I don't know, but that fuels me. Like,
Challenge
make it
yourself
happen.
to.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think especially, I'm sure, especially being football player and college athlete, that's kind of where that competitive side kind of cranks on, being like, okay, well, let me just go show off on the field a little bit. Watch me do my thing. And then it's one of those, I mean, a common quote that I think about a lot. Like at first, people are going to ask like why you're doing something. And then a few years from now, they're going to ask how you did it.
Exactly.
To where it's like, watch me do my thing. And I'm going to kind of secretly prove you wrong. And I think not even prove wrong in that people doubt us as creatives, but I think to your point, it's kind of this just accepted like societal conversation that this is a very hard industry, which to an
Yeah.
extent it is, or it's impossible to make a living. You're not going to make money until after you die. But I think that's one of the fun kind of challenges as an artist is that there is no one set path. We get to determine our own path, and that feels very scary to a lot of people
Because
because
we
they
all know
want.
artists who make money. Like,
Yeah,
they
and
get paid.
people want like a set path of certainty, which the journey as an artist is not always that. But to your point, it's also one of the most rewarding, it's one of the most fulfilling, and can be a very financially lucrative opportunity.
Exactly.
If that's kind of going back to defining success, if that's a goal that people set. So it's scary not having a set path, but it can also be super liberating because you're like, there's no set path because I can do whatever I want. So,
There are no rules.
yep.
Just do this. There are no rules to this. And I'm telling, in a lot of ways, I'm talking to myself like recently. So there are no rules. The only thing is just do it with good morals and values. And as far as when you mention like proving it to someone, I think initially it starts with proving it to someone. But then just me, I'm like, yo, why did that bother you so much? Asking myself, like, what was that? Like, oh, a little part of you doesn't believe it. A little part of you actually agrees. Like that 5%, a little part of you, oh, okay. Now you have to, now you're in a lot of ways, you're proving it to yourself, right? That imposter syndrome thing, right? Because a lot of it, in so many ways, is just self-talk. How are we talking to yourself? So at that moment, it's like, nah, you really can't do it. Like maybe he's right. I don't know. So it's
It's
like
that
a
little bit of
constant,
fear.
yeah, because it's unknown. Like who's been there before? Before meeting Beverly, I didn't really know any successful artists for real. Right? A ton of athletes. Like, oh yeah, they played it, blah, 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 that sort of thing. I didn't know any successful artists for real. So just to know this, to be around this unicorn, and then people say like, oh, you can't do it. I'm like, ah. But that on the other side is like the God in light. So yeah, forget you. So now I have to pull yourself together, keep pushing.
Love it. Oh, love this so much. I know. I'm like, I mean, that kind of push and pull society-wise might deter some people, but for the rest of us, it definitely is challenge accepted. Like, I'm gonna make this happen. I don't know how, I don't know when, but it's gonna happen. This is a career that definitely requires grit and determination. If you don't have that, have fun doing it on the weekends, but another job
Have
will pay
fun.
the bill. And that's okay too. That's okay too. I mean, we
Yeah.
also get to choose our income stream, so that's part of the fun part too.
Exactly.
Is it teaching? Is it, like, in your case, like, are you doing therapy? Like, there might be a portion of it that pays the bills and a portion of it that pays for the art to continue, and that's perfect. No one size fits all, so we love art,
Yeah.
right? Don't we?
I
Now,
just try to do
Lamar.
things. Oh, I'm sorry. Go for it.
Oh, no, I was gonna say, if somebody randomly hands you $100, what would you splurge on or invest in? Has to be something that brings you joy and relates to your art, your business.
Oh, that's easy. Because I don't buy anything except art supplies and food. I don't care if I had a good 160 million in the bank. I'm only buying art. This is true. I'm serious. I'm not buying anything except art supplies and quality food. So at this today at 2:09 p.m., I'm going to get some oil sticks, like the yeah,
Yes.
those things.
Yeah. Oh, yes.
Oh, I love
So
it. That's good stuff.
that's investing back into the business.
Yes, it is.
Love it, love it. Perfect artist answer. Now, real quick, Lamar, this conversation has been so much fun, but for our listeners, what exciting projects do you have coming up that they should know about?
Man, let me see. Exciting projects. I have a few things that I can't really discuss. Not to be that guy.
Oh,
Not to be
juicy,
that guy.
juicy.
But
Juicy.
I have a few projects happening. Doing a show. See, I can't talk about that one either. I have three projects coming up soon throughout the year. I really don't want to be cryptic. Like, I hate when people do that. But yeah. Yeah,
Fair
three
enough.
projects coming up in Raleigh.
Well,
But yeah.
Ben, how
It's
can our listeners stay in touch with you for when you can talk about these projects and share about them? Where can they stay in
oh.
contact with you for when you can?
Afro_Picasso on Instagram, Lamar Whitby on Facebook. I think I have another page. Yeah. All that stuff. Social media, website, lamarwhidby.com. Oh, one thing I can for sure talk about though is in August, myself and another licensed clinical mental health counselor, Blaze Harris, we're putting together a program at the right now it's at the YMCA on Rock Quarry Road in Raleigh. It's called Black Father's Day. So that is we're gonna be having health screenings, breakout sessions, like groups and mental health stuff. This is basically a mental health day for Black fathers.
Nice.
Masseuse, yeah. And right now we're working to doing our very best for this event to be 100% free to all attendees. Yeah, so I could talk about that for sure. But yeah, man, stay alert. Some stuff is coming. Not like it's like, oh, change the world, but nah, it's, yeah.
Hey,
Stuff is happening.
we do through
Yeah.
art a little bit at a time, trying to make the world a better place through our art. That's all we can do, right?
Exactly, exactly.
Change the narrative. It's not all negative Facebook stuff or X or Twitter or whatever all those other ones are. Art
It'd
is
be cool
here.
if y'all had a
Art's
top
here.
five.
Yeah, art is a lot better.
Like if, like at the end of, Dang, we're not done recording. If at the end, like at the end of something like that, like a quick top five artist or influences or something like that, that'd be
Ooh.
Okay.
We'll workshop it. I like it.
Oh yeah. We'll definitely have to
I
talk.
stole that from one of my favorite podcasts, R&B Money. Yeah.
Okay.
Ooh, let's check it out.
We'll have to look it up. Well, Lamar, we're gonna put links to your social media and your website on the show notes, as well as links to the two Duke professors that we talked about earlier. So we'll make sure to link that all in the show notes. Now, would you mind staying with us a few extra minutes so we can discuss time management and routines on a bonus segment for our podcast supporters?
Let's do
All
it.
right, perfect. Well, in the meantime, if you're listening to this and you want to stay connected with us in between episodes, share your feedback, and have a question you would like for us to answer on the podcast, you can reach us through social media, MMAArt across all platforms.
And I'm at J Sanders Studio on all platforms. And if you want to follow the podcast, we are at Level Up Artists on Instagram. You can also visit levelupartist.com to hear the rest of this conversation and become a podcast supporter.
This will also give you access to amazing off-the-record conversations like the one we're about to have with Lamar, the artist community platform, and it helps to keep the podcast going.
Thank you so much for listening. We'll talk to you next week.